All right, how's everybody doing this morning? I'm going to say, it's good to be here because I survived. All right, we had Vacation Bible School, and I want to let you know, if you are not a part of Vacation Bible, you miss a blessing. To sit here Friday night, to see the stage full of children, big old smiles on their face. It was an exciting evening. Jumping up and down to the movements and all of that. You really missed a blessing. But I also want to thank those who served and worked. It is work, all right? I don't know about anybody else. I'm tired today. Anybody else tired? Raise your hand. You know, I'm tired, you know. But I'm going to tell you, when you see the kids, it's all worth it. It's all worth it when you see the smile on the kids' face and they're quoting God's word and they're singing God's songs and the power of God is touching it. It makes it exciting, and it's a lot of fun. But this morning, I want to kind of continue what I began last week. I began this series called God Never Said That. There's some things that we kind of roll off of our tongue. We kind of say, kind of nonchalant, that this is what God said. And last week, we talked about, and I kind of looked at, God never said he wanted you to be happy. Now, God does enjoy us being happy. God does want us to enjoy life. But the ultimate purpose in life is not to be happy, that we really want to be blessed. If anybody was here last week and listened to that, we want God. I would rather have God's blessings, because happiness is kind of fleeting sometimes. And next week, we're going to look at one that's really important, because it kind of goes like this. You see it practiced today. It doesn't matter what, as long as you don't hurt anybody. All right? We kind of practice that one today. Then to me, the last one, the fourth one in the series, is the most dangerous one. And the idea of that one goes, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Well, God never said any of those things. And this morning, I want to kind of talk about another thing God never said. But before I get into that, I had this belief about life, and maybe you can identify with this. I've said this in the past. You're in one of three places in life every time. Either you are about to go into trouble, you are in trouble, or you're just getting out of trouble. Anybody identify with that? That life just seems like, you know, I'm in one of these three places. Either it's almost going to happen, or I'm just getting out of it, or has anybody ever said anything like this? What's next? You know, just what's next? And you get, you know, you get into life, and life is just kind of spiraling down, and you're kind of walking through life, and you're trying to figure it all out, and it hurts, and there's things, and it just seems like life snowballs on you. And then somebody walks up, some good-meaning Christian, some good-meaning follower of God walks up and goes, God never gives you more than you can handle. Have you ever heard that one? You know, and I don't know about you, when I've heard that one, I'm going, God has a bigger opinion of me than I do. You know, God thinks more about me than I do. You know, it's like, God, you know, yeah, I'm at the end, you know, I'm done, and it's over, you know, it's my job, you know, it's my kids, you know, it's my finances, you know, it's like you go through life, and it's like you solve one issue, and then there's another. You know, and you didn't even get done with that one, and the other one's already started. You know, and then somebody just comes up, you know, God never gives you more than him. Don't worry. Don't stress. God never gives you any more than you can handle. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God never said that. All right? God never told you he will never give you more than you can handle. It's kind of a mistwist of a scripture. You know, I kind of quote scriptures, and we really don't have all of the detail. Have anybody do that to you? Especially good-meaning Christians sometimes. You know, they kind of twist a scripture, you know, they kind of, you know, I pray I never do that, all right? You know, and if I do, I had some that would call me on it, all right? You know, but here, you know, this kind of grows out of a statement that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. I want you to look at that. If you got your outline, pull that out. You can see it there on it. It's written there for you. Got some blanks to the moment. It says this: no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, and will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. All right? See, you can kind of see how somebody could take that verse and kind of draw the conclusion, kind of draw out of there that God never gives you any more than you can handle. But what he's talking about is temptation. All right? Why don't you circle that word? Because that's really the context of that. God never said he's never going to give you more than you can handle. But God did say that when sin comes into your life, when temptation is set before you, he is faithful. That's another good word to circle. That God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you can bear. He's going to always provide what? What's he going to give you? A way out. There's always going to be an opportunity, a way out. There's always going to be a way to move on, to get away from it. And he's always created that for us. But I want to make sure you get a picture here. God never said, because when you read the word, when you look into the scripture, there's a lot of people that God had, they had more to handle than they could handle. As I looked at God's word, you got a little guy in the Judges, one of the judges in the book of Judges. His name is Gideon. God comes to Gideon and says, Gideon, I got something for you to do. And Gideon goes, our family's the smallest, weakest family, and I'm the runt in the family, and you're asking me to do what? You want me to do what? And then we get Moses. I can see God. Moses is my favorite Bible character, for those who don't know. I just enjoy Moses and his story and his life. But I could just see Moses. God shows up to Moses and says, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt where you just killed a guy. That sounds good, right? I want you to go back to Egypt where you just murdered somebody. And I want you to bring 2 million people out into this desert and lead my people to the promised land. And Moses is going, wait a minute, I'm an 80-year-old man now. I don't know about you, but I'm 80 years old now. I don't talk well, and you want me to do what? God never gives me more than I can handle. God never, how about Esther? Esther, they're going to kill all the Jews. They got it all set out to kill all the Jews, to kill all the Hebrew people. And here's Esther, a beautiful young lady in the king's palace. And it's like, you don't talk to the king unless the king speaks to you. But Esther's been challenged. You got to go talk to the king, Esther. You got to get this thing right with the king, because if you don't, it's going to be bad news for your people. You got to go make this right. And so, God, how do I do that? If I speak, I'm dead. It's more than I can handle. David, Israel, Jesus. Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but I think Jesus can handle anything. Anybody on board with that one? Look at what he says. He's facing death. The cross is right there. It's the days. It's right there. And he took with him Peter, James, and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. God, I'm done. God, I see what is to come. I see what is to happen. I understand what's going. And I'm distressed and I'm troubled, he said. My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and watch. He's asking them to pray for me. See, if you just pray enough, God can give you, you'll make it, right? See, we have this idea that, I can handle anything. God's never going to give you more than you can handle. Well, the truth is, he does. What I want to think about this morning is why. Anybody ever wondered why? Why is all this happening to me? Why my job? Why did I just lose my job and we just bought a brand new car? Anybody ever have that one? No. Why, God? Why my marriage, God? Why is my marriage breaking up? Why is my family? And we go, why? Well, God never gives you more than you can handle. Not true. But I think there's some things that happen in the midst of what we can't handle. And so I'm going to give you two things. If you've got your outline, look at these two things. There are times that God wants to teach you to depend on his presence. We live in a world where we say things like this: I can handle this. Anybody? I've got this. I can deal with this. I'll take care of this. But there are times when God wants to teach us to depend on Him. Because most of us live in a world like this, at least in my world. When life is going well, life is going good, when times are nice, where's God? That's okay, God. Where's God in the midst of our success most of the time? I always look at 9/11. I love our country. I mean, I don't think you can find a greater country to live in. Anybody on board with that one? We are blessed to live in this country. But I watch 9/11, and I watch our country. We're going down this road, and we're back on that road again. We're going down this road, and those Twin Towers are struck, and the Pentagon, and all of this happens. And what do our Congress people do? They line up on the steps. Anybody remember? Come on. They line up on the steps, and they sing. What'd they sing? Come on. God bless America. We're successful, God. You're over here, God. We're being successful. But now I got trouble, God. God bless America. 6 months later, guess what? They're back the same way they were. Anybody on board with that? Anybody ever have a friend? You have a friend and you're going to church and you know how exciting church is and it's ministering to you, the family of God, the friends, that, you know, God is touching you. You're enjoying what God is doing in your life and you're sharing it with a friend, but his life is okay. His life is going great. He just, that's your thing. That's not my thing. You know, that's for you and that's not for me. And yet when he gets that phone call from that doctor, can you pray for me? Will you pray for me? See, we live in a world where sometimes our success and the easiness of life and the smoothness of life, and it's okay. So the presence of God is there, but it's there. And so sometimes God uses trouble in our life. Sometimes God allows trouble in our life. Sometimes God allows those things that we cannot handle to remind us, who do we need? And so as we look at life and those troubles in our life, it draws us back to God. It draws us back to who God is and what God wants. See, anyone, I mean, some of you here, you're in the midst of hurts right now. You're in the midst of trouble right now. You're in the midst of those battles right now. It's kind of like Jonah. You know, God has Jonah. Jonah, I want you to go to preach. I want you to go and share the message and teach. And Jonah says, I got this. I'm going somewhere else. I'm doing life my way. Anybody doing life your way? You know, I've got life. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I've got this all figured. Anybody got life figured out? You know, I've got the handle on life. You know, I know what I need to do. I know where I should be. You know, I've got this. And then you start going through life, and all of a sudden you're bouncing around and the waves are crashing in on you. Financial waves, relationship waves. You know, they're just crashing on you, you know, and you're going, why me, Lord? Why me? You know, and then you think it's going to get better, but it gets worse. Now, all of a sudden, you don't even have a boat to sit in. Anybody? You know, you've lost everything. You know, it just kind of, anybody been one of those spirals that just keeps going down, and just down and down? And that's kind of, isn't it, Jonah? But God used that. Listen to what Jonah says. I love what it says. When I was in danger, I called to the Lord. All right, that's... When did he call to the Lord? When I was in danger. When it wasn't right, when things weren't good. He didn't say, when I was successful, I called to God. No. When I was in danger, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. Isn't that good to know? He answers you. I was about to die, so I cried. I was about to die. Anybody ever feel like I'm at the end of my rope? No. I cried to you, and you heard my voice. I think there's a great teaching there. I see these two things there. First of all, we wait to the very end, right? I'll fix this. When nothing else, I've tried everything now, so I might as well try God. Anybody on that one? You know? I've tried to figure everything out, but now I just turn to God finally. You know, there's nowhere else to turn. My last resort. You know, I'm at the end. You know, I just see this. That God is what? Faithful. God hears. Even ignore Him, God's always there to listen. You know, I kind of thought about that. Anybody have kids? Anybody raise kids? Anybody have one of those children that you want to wring a neck on? You know, that when they call, would you be there for them? You know, do you think sometimes we're kind of like that rebellious child to God, and yet God's always going to be there? And that's kind of what we see here. I like as verses down from that, I like how Jonah says it again. When I felt my life slipping away, then, why don't you circle that word then? Then, O Lord, I prayed to you in your holy temple, and you heard me. Yeah. See, sometimes that then is those things we can't handle. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that then is that opportunity when there's nothing there. When there's nowhere else to turn. See, when you're in the middle and you're wrestling with things and things aren't quite right, what do we do? Where do we go? You know? And some of us as Christians, you know, even Christians have days they can't handle. Anybody been in VBS? I'm going to tell you, there's some days that are hard to handle in Vacation Bible School. You know, it's like, not again. You got some wonderful children. Anybody ever have one of those wonderful child? And yet they're the ones with the biggest smile on their face. It's like, it's worth it. You know? But we go through life and we wrestle with this. And, you know, well, and we want God. We're going to have storms in our life. There's going to be times. And what you need to realize is you can't handle it, and that's okay. That's okay. Because what it's saying is there's a God who can, who is there when you call on Him. A God who will respond when you call on Him. I like, you know, Moses passed on. Moses led Israel to the brink of the promised land. He'd go in, and a guy's going to take over named Joshua. Now, here's the thing. I love this picture here. Joshua is only one of two guys who left Egypt with Moses. You understand this? Make sure you get a picture here. Joshua is one of two guys. Remember, all the people died. All the people but two died. Moses died before he crossed. You had Joshua, and anybody know the other guy? Come on, Bible test. Hey, some of you guys are good, man. We got Caleb. You guys popped up with that. So Joshua knew everything Moses had to do. He was Moses' right-hand man. You read the story. He really was. He held Moses' arms up one time, all right? And you read the story of how God worked with Joshua, and Joshua's seen everything Moses had done. Now, I'm sure if you're familiar with the story, you don't read the Bible. You can go read the book. You know, you can find it in the book. If you want to watch a movie, you can go watch the Ten Commandments. I encourage you to read the Bible instead, all right? You know, the people were really fun people to be around, okay? They were a pleasure. They loved the food they got. They enjoyed the water. Now, I'm being sarcastic, if you know this story. You know, they complained about the bread. They complained about the quail. They complained about the water. They whined about this. They get to the point where, let's just go home. Let's just go back to Egypt. I'd rather be a slave than in the promised land of God. I mean, yeah. That's what the people were saying. And John Moses the whole time listening to this. And now he's told Moses is going to die and Joshua, you're going to get to be the leader. Now, if I was Joshua, I'd say, I don't want the job. I don't want these, as God calls them, stiff-necked people, okay? I could just see Moses going, God, I can't handle this. I don't want this. I don't want anything to do with this. These are people. I mean, I see what they did to Moses, and I don't want to deal with it. God called Joshua. And I love what he told Joshua. Look what he tells Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. Because of who? The whining, complaining people. All right? I can't handle these people. Anybody have a family you can't handle? You know? I can't handle these. For the Lord your God goes with you. What's that? Presence of God. Did you get it? He will never leave you nor forsake you. Get the picture there? See, I'm at the end of my rope. I can't take any more. I'm drowning. I often have this picture. There was a few years ago, several years ago, and I was sharing it. It felt like you're treading water and somebody's pushing you underneath. Anybody ever feel like you pop up, you grab a breath of air and somebody pushes you? Anybody been in life like that? It just seems like every time you pop up, somebody's pushing you down, something pulls you down. And you're just trying to catch your breath. You know, life is, it's a storm. You know, but God's presence is there. So listen, what you need to understand, it's real simple. When you can't handle it, realize you can't handle it. But the presence of God is there. And he's faithful. He will hear you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. If you will draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So see, one of the reasons there's things in your life you cannot handle is because God wants you and wants to teach you to depend on his presence. To depend on him. That's one reason. How about the second reason? If you got your outline, let's kind of look. Oh, I had that other verse. Look at, I quoted it, but I didn't read it. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call in truth, God is there. I wrote this down. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. What do you think? Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. When you can't handle it, and there's going to be times when you can't, there's the presence of God. The second one I put is this. There are times God wants to teach you to experience his power. There are times that God wants to teach you to experience his power. There's supernatural power out there. There's an ability and talent and gifts that God has that he can give you that you can have in your life. And too many people are doing life on their own. I've got this, God. You know, I can take care of this one. And we try to live life on our own. Let me paint a picture. Here's a picture I draw in my mind many times is this. You know, you raise your kids and you're going to go shopping. Anybody ever go shopping with children? 2-, 3-, 4-year-old kids. Anybody ever take your 2-, 3-, 4-year-olds shopping? Aren't they just little angels in the mall? You know, the grocery store, you know. They stay right with you, you know. They hang on to your pants and it's just like, okay, you know. No, you take your kids to the store, take your kids, you know, maybe your grandkids, you take them to the store, boom, and they're gone. Anybody? Yeah. They're gone. You know? I've got this, man. This is my store now. Yeah. You ever try to find your child in a store with all the clothes racks and they're in the middle of them? You know, you're looking for them. Where's the kid? And you gotta go, oh, there they are, you know. Well, listen, what we need to understand is somehow we that way. I've got life, God. And we go out running around. But have you ever had one of those kids and you take their hand and you just grip that hand, right? And they're just jerking off and you're just, you ain't going anywhere now. You know, I pull them out of the middle of that clothes rack and you're staying right with me. Yeah. Well, see, I wonder if sometimes God sends those difficult times, those times that we can't handle, because He wants to hold our hand. What do you think? That maybe He's wanting us to get out of the middle of all that storm and reach out and let Him hold our hand. And I want to make sure you get a picture here, because it's not a matter of you holding His hand. Because if you're trying to hold His hand, let me tell you, you can slip and fall. Who's got the strength? Who's got the power? We need to let God hold our hand. And I think this is what we want. I want this opportunity right here. That's what God wants you to understand. There's power and there's strength in God. There's something with God that He wants us to have, this strength, that He wants us to be able to do these things. But see, we live in a world where I can do anything. Now, I believe that. I can do anything. If you know my life, if you understand where I came from, and now where I am at this point in my life, I can do anything. But there's a little caveat there I missed, that many of us miss. I can do anything through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Where's my power? Is my power in the eye, or is it in the... You see the difference? That there's many in our world where the kids nowadays are told, you can do anything. You can do anything you want. You can be anybody you want. Well, I got news for you. You can't be anything you... You can't do anything you want. All right? If I could do anything I want, I wish I could sing better. Yeah. I tell you, Dan and I talk about this. We go see preachers at other churches. A guy gets up, he preaches in the middle of the sermon, he goes into a song. It's like, God, you ain't fair. You know, I could never be a singer. Now, I could sing better. You know, there are some things I cannot do. All right? But we live in a world, I can do anything. Well, the power of God, I can do anything that God has called me to do. See, we need to see that presence of God. We need to see that power of God in the midst of those storms, in the midst of those things that we can't handle. That, yeah, you can't handle it because you got the wrong strength. You don't have the strength you need. You don't have the ability you need. You need God's strength and God's ability. Paul is a great picture of this. And Paul, as he's writing that church in Corinth, Paul had a problem. We don't really know what the problem was. We don't know what the issue was in Paul's life. But Paul had what he called a thorn in the side. Many people think probably he might have had a problem with his eyes. That he had some kind of a vision situation. And because you can read some people talking about how hard it was for him to read and to write and some things like that. So we really don't know what it was. And Paul had these issues in his life. And Paul had sought God and sought relief from the problems. You know, God, I can't handle this anymore. God, you know, I'm doing this. I'm serving you. I'm planting churches. I'm traveling the known world. I'm doing your work, God. Can you get this out of my way? You know, God, can you take this issue out of my life? Can you get rid of this problem in my life? Anybody ever pray about a problem in your life? Just get rid of it. God, just take it away. I don't want to deal with this anymore. You know? But God had something to say. I want you to look at this passage here. But he said to me, God, okay, he had prayed. If you read the scripture, he had prayed like three times. And it's not like, well, God, take it away. That's many of us have prayed like that, right? Yeah. God, you know my problem. Get rid of it. I think Paul was serious. I think Paul, he prayed and he fasted and he sought God. He wanted this thing gone. It's too much. And he said to me, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Okay, God. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness. Do you see what Paul's saying here? Paul's saying, I'm weak. I can't handle this. I can't deal with this. But God says, in that weakness, that's where my power rests. Look at what he goes on. So that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in insult, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see a picture? This is hard. I don't know about it. This is hard to wrestle with. This is hard to put my hands around on this. Because what Paul is saying is, when I am at the weakest point in my life, I am the strongest. Now, how can that be? Doesn't make sense. Because see, when he is weak, it is not his strength. Because whose strength is it? It's God's strength. When you're at the end of your rope, when you're weak, when you're tired, when you can't handle it anymore, it's God's strength that's going to carry you through. It's God's power. Now, I'm going to ask you a real simple question. How much power does God have? How much strength does God have? I told the kids in Vacation Bible School, God took this world. You know what this world came from? Where this world came from? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, God just looked out here, and here's this open space. This open space, and God says, hey, there's world. He created and formed everything. He formed you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. And when you are weak, he is the strongest. How many of us could have a testimony about a time in your life where you were done? You were literally done. Anybody been done? You are done. And yet, at that moment when you were done, there was something there for you that carried you through. And it wasn't you. And it wasn't your strength. And it wasn't your power. And it wasn't what you could do. Do we see this picture? See, we think, I got this. I can handle this. And then we try. Because see, we've been taught, God never gives you more than you can handle, so suck it up, right? See, we've been taught, God never gives you more than you can handle, so just, you got to stick to it. And you got to get, you just got to try your hardest. I'm going to give you something. Quit trying. Okay? And let God. Think that's a good idea? Quit trying. God, I'm trying my hardest. God's saying, why don't you let me? You ever try to help a child? I see so much children in us. You ever try to help a child? Let me help you finish. Let me help you fix that. Let me leave me alone. You think we ever do that with God? You know the child, he can't do it. He doesn't have the ability to do it. He doesn't have the muscle strength. He doesn't have the knowledge. He can't do it. And you know he can't. You want to get in there and help him, but they won't let you. Anybody have a child like that? You ever think we treat God that way? See, sometimes in the midst of all our stuff we can't handle, God wants to teach us to experience his power. To see what God can do. To see how God can work. You know? When you can't do anymore, I wrote a bunch of stuff down here. When you can't do anymore, when you don't have any of the answers, when you're in the midst of your depression, when your child is hurting, when you can't fix the marriage, what do you do? What do you do? When you can't. When there's nothing. What do? That God can. Do you see the picture here? See, and Paul is saying, listen. I can boast. Not in what. But in what God has done. To what God has accomplished. See, when I am weak, that is when God is glorified. When I am done, when I'm finished, when it's over and I can't go anymore, and God picks you up and takes you those next few steps, it's God. It's God. God never said he'll never give you more than you can handle. But what God has said is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What God has said is, you draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. See, that's what God does say. And so I'm going to tell you, quit saying, I've got this. Quit saying, I could, and start saying, God, draw near to me, for I'm drawing near to you. God, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. See what God can do. See what God has for you. See, you're the closer. How many of the spiritual retreats? Anybody been to a spiritual retreat? How about have you ever been to church and you just come home so pumped and excited? And you walk out those doors, and what's the first thing that happens to you? Something slaps you in the face and just makes you, right? Yeah. Somebody says something, somebody does something. And you know. Here's what I want you to, when you realize you can't handle it, you can be just as close to God in the low points as you are when you're on the mountaintop. You understand what I'm saying? When you realize those low points in your life, great opportunities for the presence and power of God. It's not just the mountaintop, but in the midst of the valley, God is there. That we need to realize, I can't do this. I can't handle this. So I want to make sure you get this picture this morning. You can't. So I'm going to ask you what? Here's what I'm going to ask you right now. What do you need to give up? What do you need to give up? God, I've got this. God, I can handle this. God, I can fix my marriage. I can fix my broken family. I can fix my child. I can fix my finances. I can fix my life. I can fix. What do you need to give up on? So that the presence and power of God can fix it. Because you can't handle it. It's too big. It's too much. And God never said, you'll never get more than you can handle. What do you think? See, I end with the verse here that goes like this. And we know that in all things God works together for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's all going to be good. Bad things don't good, but bad things can produce good. I want to challenge you this morning. What do you need to give up? What do you need to let go? Think you got it? And you don't? My kids? My teenagers? Anybody got teenagers? Isn't teenage time fun time? Job? Our world's changing, man. My job, you know, we used to have jobs you could have for a lifetime. Now, I don't tell you, most people don't live in a job you have for life. How do we? So I just want to challenge you this morning. What do you need to let go of? Because you can't handle it. And don't feel that's being weak, because I'm going to tell you, when you are weak, who is strong? Why don't anybody know I'm weak? Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to know people I am weak. This was a hard week for weak. You like that? I was tired. I was aggravated. Anybody been aggravated this week? Friday rolls around and all this stuff's got to get done and short temper. Anybody have a short temper this week besides me? Yeah. What do you need to let go of? What do you think you can handle that can't? I'm going to ask it this way. What are you going to surrender to God tonight, today? What are you going to let him have? I don't know what it is. What are you going to let him have? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you protect us from temptation, that you'll never allow us to be tempted beyond that which we can bear, that you'll always give a way out, that quality of life. There's situations, there's circumstances there's trials, there's difficulties, or that we can't handle. We're not even designed to handle. But it's your presence and it's your power that will deliver us. So I seek your strength and I seek your wisdom. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I begin by saying some of us are in one of three places. You're either in the midst of trouble, you're either just getting out of it, or you're about ready to go into it. And I'm sure there's some of you who are there right now. Maybe you're being bounced around in a ship like Jonah, or maybe the ship's already sunk and you're just fiddle. And you want me to pray for you. Just like Paul prayed, you want me to pray for you. Would you just shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? I see those hands. I see. Anyone else? I see those hands. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of these who are in the midst of a storm. They're being tossed about. They're bouncing around. They're treading water. They're battling the battles of life. Lord, there's marriages, there's children, there's finances, there's jobs, there's sicknesses, there's disease, there's depression, there's battles, Lord, that we cannot handle. And these have lifted their hands to you, and we want to draw near to you as you've promised to draw near to us. And so I ask you to put your arms around them to lift them up right now, Lord, to encourage them by your presence, to strengthen them by your power. Lord, you know what you have set before, you know where their lives are right now. And so I ask that you lift them up. And just as you told Paul, your grace is sufficient. Let them experience your grace in a mighty way, Lord. Let them feel the touch and the warmth of your hand upon their life, upon their heart. Let them know that you are near to them because you love them and you care for them. Let the presence and power of God set upon them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.